Seeing Ellie Weber, 9 o'clock sharp, even though the clock says 8. It hasn't turned its, we haven't changed the time yet. On this close air of Pesach, Tuesday morning, Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. With Ellie Weber.
Okay, good morning. When you look for models on which to base a shiur on Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, like what mitzvah is it like? It's hard to come up with anything. Well, it's either hard or it's very easy. On the one hand, your storytelling isn't a mitzvah that you find much in the Torah. On the other hand, remembering things is. For example,
Amalek.
Okay, there's a mitzvah of Zechiras, you know, Zachar Esa Sheh Selach Amalek, but there's a much more common one.
I think we always say remember when we left you. We say in the six remembrances.
There's what's called Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which, you know, couldn't be any closer to us. There's another one that you don't think of as much. Shabbos is, you know, is Zachar Es Yom HaShabbos LeKadosha.
Those six in the back of davening, are those from the Torah?
Yeah, the Ramban thinks those are mitzvahs. Zachor eis asher asah Hashem Elokecha leMiriam baderech betzeischem Mitzrayim, right? Zachor eis asher hiktzavto asah Hashem Elokecha bamidbar, that you angered God, right? That they're strange. Then there's zechiras har Sinai, zachor, we can count them easy. Shabbos, Miriam, you angered God, yeah. Amalek, and Har Sinai.
Miriam. You said Miriam.
Yeah. Okay, I can do them by heart.
It's ETA GMS. Exodus, Matan Torah, Amalek.
Just take out a sip.
Golden calf, the golden calf story.
That's exactly what I'm talking
about. Golden calf, Miriam and Shabbat, those six.
So, Cheta Egel.
Cheta Egel. Is this in the Sefer Mitzvah? The Sipur?
No, it's only the Ramban has them, the Rambam doesn't. Okay. Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is the one we forgot, which is the one we need. Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Maimad Har Sinai, Amalek, Maase HaEgel, or depending on how you say Asher Iktzav to Asher Hashem Elokecha Mamid, but you angered God. Probably that's Amalek. Miriam and Shabbos. Okay, so the question is, what's the relationship between the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, let's say, let's focus on, and the mitzvah on Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? This is a famous question, but it's one that has to be asked. Good.
No,
so
what did you just recall?
Let's
every
go.
Day?
So
what
let's
did you talk about.
So first, let's look at the psukim, and then at the way the Rambam counts it as a mitzvah. Okay, source number one. Perek Yudimel Parshas Bo in Shmos Matzos Yeachel Eis Shivas Hayamim. There is a mitzvah to eat matzah for 7 days. V'lo Yera Elecha Chametz V'lo Yera Elecha Sor B'chol Gulecha. And as we've seen before, kind of the flip side, the mitzvah to eat matzah and the prohibition on chametz. And then the next pasuk, V'higad Talavincha B'yom Ahu Leimor. And you shall tell your son or your children on that day, saying, "Ba'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeiti mimitzrayim." Because of this, and the word zeh in the Torah really almost always means something tangible that you could point to. There's a series of limudim that exclude blind people from certain mitzvahs haTorah. For example, Bineinu Zeh Soreru Moreh. So the Gemara said they can't be blind because they have to point. Zeh. Whenever you say Zeh, you should imagine that you're pointing. So, with that as a background, what's Pshad in Pasuk Chet? V'higad etalavin cha b'yom ahu le'mor ba'avur Zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeiti mitzrayim. What's the Zeh? What are you pointing at?
Probably the matzah.
Probably matzah. Okay, that's the pasuk before Matzot Yechel Eid Shivat Hayamim. So you're saying Bavur Zeh. It could be that Matzah also implies Karban Pesach, and it could be that what you're saying is because we did the mitzvah of Matzah and Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim, God took us out.
But Matzah had two roles.
Correct. But that's something that we're pointing, you know, that's something tangible. We mentioned last when we talked about Matzah, the idea that we may have been commanded bizarrely to commemorate the Exodus before it happened, so that we would have the merit that God would take us out. Okay, and then a few psukim later, Pasuk Yudalit, Vahaya ki yishalcha bincha machar lemar mazos. And if the day comes, in some future date, right, the Gemara says, machar sometimes means tomorrow, but yesh machar shehu la'achar zman. Machar also means in the future. Okay, when they ask in the future, mazot, and by the way, again, mazot, mazeh, I think it says, what's up with the matzah? What's up with the mar? What's up with the karban pesach?
Doesn't the Rasha say mazot?
Huh?
Doesn't the Rasha?
Yeah, that's a big problem. Yes. Va'amarta elav, and you'll answer him, b'chozek yad al-tzion Hashem mimitzayim meitavadam, that God took us out with a strong hand from Egypt. So you have two different psukim. I'm not claiming two different mitzvahs, but you have two different psukim. One is, v'higadata levincha, you're obligated to tell your children. And the other one is, v'haya ki shalcha bincha, when your children ask you, then v'amarta elav. What's the difference? Just read the psukim. What's the difference?
One is active, one is passive.
One's active and the other is more responsive.
I would say, I agree with both of you, but I would say one is absolute. You read Pasuk Tet, V'higadata levincha, you have a mitzvah to tell your children something about Mitzrayim. Pasuk Yud Dalet seems contingent. V'haya ki shalcha bincha lemor mazos. If they ask you, then you answer b'chozek yad. Although it's a little unfair, because v'haya ki shalcha bincha machar lemor mazos could also be read kind of uncontingently, that no, it's going to happen and this is what you're going to do.
Doesn't
say it
says ki.
Right. Ki could be if. The simple pshat in ki is if. Right, we've seen there were some exceptions to that rule where key is not if but it's
when.
It's right.
But there's an overriding concept of that you always find in modern day theory, which is to make the children ask questions. Which means if you aren't successful in the making, you're not going to get any questions.
First of all, it's not modern day; it's as old as anything. Okay, but but you're absolutely right that. You know, if you wanted to take the contingency out of the second pasuk, what you would do is make a seder, and there would be no chance for your children not to ask, because what's going on is so, you know, it demands a question. But I'm saying, at least when you read the pasukim, you could see two different types of things. You could see an absolute requirement. Now, I'm not saying this is true, but for example, nobody thinks that the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, we'll leave that for now. Nobody thinks that the mitzvah of Shabbos is contingent. If your kids ask you, why are we lighting candles and why are we making Kiddush, then you explain to them that God created the world in 7 days. Right? Everybody understands that is, you know, that's completely mandatory, uncontingent on anything else. So all I'm saying is it could be that there's a mandatory part of, let's say, oh, Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? You have to say Shema. Let's assume for argument's sake that we are yotzei the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim Bizman Hazeh by saying Shema in the morning and Shema at night. Nobody thinks, well, nobody asked me about Mitzrayim tonight, so I don't have to say the third parasha of Shema. It's understood that that's a mitzvah satorah. Okay? So we'll lay those possibilities out there. And now, let's look at how the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos brings down this halacha. Says the Rama, Vamitzvah Kuf Nun Zayin 157. He shet sivanu lisaper bitziat mitzrayim belel chamisha asar benisan. So the first thing is we are commanded, right, not contingent, we're commanded to be misaper, I guess, to tell over the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim on the 15th of Nisan. Then interestingly, two interesting words, bitchilat halayla. Anybody want to hazard a guess? Bitchilat halayla?
Mitzvah. You should do it as soon as you can.
Okay, that'd be great. That'd be great if every time the Rambam has a mitzvah like this, he says, you have to make kiddush bitchilat halayla. You have to, right? But he normally doesn't do that. So it's a fair insight. My guess, I don't know the answer, my guess is the Rambam's hinting at, you know, the machlokes about whether it's all night long or only till chatzos. My guess is he's hinting that you should do it because the reason makdimim mitzvahs, but more importantly, because maybe at chatzos the mitzvah expires. Maybe. Okay? Now, what do you say? So the Rambam says it's up to you. Now, it's not because the Rambam never heard of a Haggadah. The Rambam has a Haggadah and it looks suspiciously similar to ours. But the real mitzvah is kfit sachot lashon hamisaper. It has to do with your knowledge level and presumably the knowledge level of the people who you're telling the story to. Okay? But you get the sense here, even though it's not the halacha, you get the sense that there's no really mandatory part of the Haggadah as much as there is kfit sachot lashon hamisaper. But I'm saying that's not the halacha. We'll have to see why not. Middle of the second line. V'chol ma sheyosif b'ma'amar, and as much as you can add on to what you're saying, v'ya'arich ha'dvarim b'hagdolat ma she'asa lanu Hashem u'ma. Well, we'll stop there. The more you can expand on the greatness of what God did for us, and now the flip side, u'ma she'asu imanu hamitzrim me'ovel v'chamas. And the evil that the Egyptians did to us from theft and hard-heartedness and the stuff they did to us. Let's just stop here. Why, you know, every time I see this, I think, is that really necessary? Like, great, spend all your time telling me how great God was and how amazing it was that God took me out. But why do you have to spend time talking about the evil of the Egyptians?
To realize how amazing it is that we were able to get out?
I think so. I think that it doesn't work to just talk about the greatness unless you talk about, you know, how horrible it was before. And just, we'll come to this in a few minutes. Oh, we can even do it now. Storytelling requires two sides of the story. If there's no risk, if there's no danger, if there's no tragedy, then, you know, the happy ending is not that happy, right? The people, life was fine. They had two parents in the family, and the kids were all got along well. And one day it got even better. No one's going to that movie, right? That's not a good book. Every single Disney movie, you know, has a broken family, you know, an evil stepmother, right? A bad lion and a good lion. You know, that's what a story is. And if you can't feel, you know, I realized this when my kids were young and we couldn't get them through movies. Right? When you're older, you realize that the good part's going to come. You couldn't get them through the bad part. You know, Buzz and Woody are never going to find their way home. Okay? And they're crying and they want to leave the movie. I'm like, no, it's going to be fine. When your kids are little, you realize how bad the first parts of the books are and how bad the first parts of the movies are, because it doesn't work otherwise, right? If you don't feel the pain and you don't feel the helplessness, then, you know, the happy ending is not that happy. And so here I think the Rambam is saying quite clearly, and we'll come back to this in more detail later, that you have to spend time, you know, there's none of this. I don't know how. I've spent time because it's fun. One year, my brother-in-law took out like the Reform Haggadah from the YU library and we had it at the Seder, my in-laws, many years ago. You know, and it's like it's not just that it wants to scrub God from the story, but it wants to scrub evil from the story. So, like, the Egyptians basically sound like exaggerated capitalists or something. You know, yeah, they took advantage of the Jews. You know, the way, it's 25 years, the way Donald Trump, you know, takes advantage of, right? It's all the same. They're just levels of unfairness, of inequality. And, you know, so the Rambam says no. No, there was evil. And it's very, very important to point out the evil. End of the third line. Ve'ech lakach Hashem nikmatenu mehem. There's a word that people are afraid of using. Nikmatenu means revenge. Right? It's the word is very much out of favor nowadays, because to take revenge means that there's evil. And, you know, we're rolling back the evil. But since it's hard for us to acknowledge evil, b'zman hazeh, so you don't like to take nekama. And maybe it's only for God to do. Okay? Uvehodot lo yitbarach al ma shegemalanu mechasadav yiyeh yoter tov. Okay? So the more you can expand on the pain, and the more you can expand on the great goodness of God and how He saved us, the greater the mitzvah is. Okay? So if I asked you right now, what's the shiur, what's the halachic description or definition or minimum of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, it would be a little hard to know. The Rambam says, tell the story. The maximum, it's impossible to know, because the Rambam says, V'chol ha-ma'arichu misaper, you know, hareze mishubach, which, by the way, we say in the Haggadah. That's really how we paskin. The minimum is hard to know. Right now, I would say it's, you know, I wouldn't even know what to say. The Rambam doesn't suggest a text. He just says you have to say the bad things the Egyptians did and the good thing that God did. And the more you say and the more you expand, the better it is. So we would be stuck. We would be stuck for a halachic definition at this point. Okay. Kimosha Amru, end of the fourth line. Oh, now in the fifth line. Kol ha-ma'arich l'saper b'yitziat Mitzrayim hareze mishubach. Right? The more that you expand into the details of the story, the more praiseworthy you are. V'ha-katuv sheba al atzivuy hazehu amarit barach. What's the source for this pasuk? The first pasuk we saw on top, pasuk chet. V'hi gadot levincha b'yom ahu le'mor ba'avur zeh. That's the source. Okay. Now, the Rambam wants to ask a simple question, which the Gemara asks also. How do you know when the mitzvah was? Remember I pointed out when we read the pasuk, Bavur Zeh is like pointing at things. So if v'hi gadatah levincha b'yom ahu le'mor, the Rambam says, okay, so how do you know what day that is? Maybe it's not the best question ever. Now he quotes the Gemara, after the dots, right in the middle. Ein li ela bizman sheyesh lo ben. Wait, maybe you only have this mitzvah if you have a son. Or a daughter, right? Because it says v'higadata levincha. Maybe I should read the pasuk literally. Beino levein atzmo, if it's just you. Beino levein achrim, if it's just friends. Minayin. Talmud lomar, says Rambam, there's another pasuk. Vayomer Moshe el ha'am, zachor et hayom hazeh ashe yitzatem mimitzrayim. Remember this day where you left Egypt. Kilomar. Shehut siva lezochro kimo amaro zachor et yom haShabbat lekadosho. The Rambam now brings an equation that nobody thinks Shabbos is contingent. Nobody thinks Shabbos requires a son to ask you why. So says the Rambam, it's true. The pasuk says v'higadata lebincha, but the pasuk also says zachor et yom hazeh asher yitzatem mimitzrayim. Just like it says Zachor Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho. So now the Rambam, you know, it would be easier for us to say that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is its own category. The problem is the Rambam is pulling it back towards the other category of the other Zichirot. You with me? In order to make it uncontingent, he's pulling it back to the other Zichirot. He says, "Ukfar yadata lashon amaram va'afilu kulanu chachamim kulanu nivolim kulanu yodim et haTorah mitzvah aleinu l'saper b'itziat mitzvayim v'chol ha'misaper b'itziat mitzvayim reizim mishubach." Okay, so the Rambam says, in the end, you don't need children, you don't need to ask questions. It's a mitzvah that has to be said, and even if you're the Gedolei Yisrael and you know the whole story and you've told it over 70 times in your lives, you have to tell it over again. That's, of course, the reason why the line after in the Haggadah, V'chol ha-marbe l'saper b'yitziat Mitzrayim hareze mishubach, is what? Anybody know? Ma'iseb, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, right? The five, the Gedolei Yisrael who were sitting b'ivnei brak, v'ayu misab mitzias Mitzrayim koloso alayla. What's that doing in the Haggadah? It's there to support what we just said, which is, no matter how much you know about it, you still have a mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. Okay? So, we are left with, in the Rambam, the same question that we started with, which is, if the Rambam's bringing in Shabbos, and the Rambam is bringing in the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, so then what's different about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim than the regular daily mitzvah that we have of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? Okay, everybody asks this question, but before we delve into it, look at number three. Look at the Rambam in Hilchos Kriyashma, and you'll see that he has this mitzvah. The Rambam says, Afal pi she'ein mitzvah tzitzis noheges b'layla. Even though we know that tzitzis is a mitzvah during the day and not at night, korin otah b'layla. We nevertheless read tzitzis at night. What is that referring to?
The third
paragraph of Shema, right? Daber bnei Yisrael v'yamart elhem v'asu lehem tzitzit al kanfei v'gdem d'artam v'nasnu al tzitzit ha'kanaft, right? That's the third paragraph of Shema. So says the Rambam, you have to say the third paragraph of Shema at night, even though there's no mitzvah of tzitzis. Why? Mipnei sheyesh ba zikaron yitziat mitzrayim. Right? Uri'item oto uzichartem et kol mitzvot Hashem va'asitem otam. Huh?
Kol mitzvot.
Velo sasur acharei lechem asher atem zvichem l'man tizkru va'asitem es kol mitzvot v'isem k'shem lechem. Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hotzeisi eschem me'aretz Mitzrayim liyosachem le'elokim. Okay? So the Rambam says, even though there's no tzitzis at night, you have to say the third paragraph of Shema, because the third paragraph of Shema has a different mitzvah in it, and that is Zikaron Yitziat Mitzrayim. Umitzvah lehazkir Yitziat Mitzrayim bayom uvalayla. Shenemar leman tizkor et yom tzeitcha me'aretz Yitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. Says the Rambam flat out, remember Yitziat Mitzrayim in the day and at night. Shenemar, the post says, Leman tizkor et yom tzeitcha me'aretz Yitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. By the way, just stop there. Anybody know the machloket of what is... The pasuk doesn't say day and night. What does it say? Kol yimei chayecha. So that's what we say in the Haggadah. That's a machlokes tanoim. Right? One manda Omar says, kol yimei chayecha. What's kol? Halelot. V'chachamim omrim, that's us, yimei chayecha hayamim, kol yimei chayecha lahavi limot hamashiach. So, by the way, what's that machlokas about? That's interesting. Because the Pope, who would think that you don't have a mitzvah to be mazkir yitzias mitzrayim limos hamashiach? So it turns out it's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The pasuk says that when the final ingathering of exiles happens, when the final gula happens, it'll be so great. V'lo ye'omer od, they'll no longer say Chai Hashem Asher Ha'elav Asher Heivi et Eretz Yisrael Me Eretz Mitzrayim. Right? They will no longer say, praise be God who took us out of Egypt. Ella, Chai Hashem Hasher Ha'elav Asher Heivi et Am Yisrael Me Eretz Safon Umikol Ha'aratzot Asher Hidachtim Shama. Why? So people point out, because Yitzias Mitzrayim meant taking Jews from one place, Egypt, and moving them to the land of Israel. But the ultimate Geula, which we would like to think we're seeing the beginnings of in our days, means bringing Jews literally, you know, from America and France and England and Ethiopia and all the Arab countries and Africa, you know, that'll be a bigger miracle, and it will dwarf the miracle of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay? That's the machlo. Just interesting that in theory we really pass against only a day mitzvah. Nevertheless, the Rambam says you have to say day and night, because the post says Leman tizkor yom tzeitcha me'aretz kol yimei chayecha, and then the Rambam says, just it's good to know, ukriyat shalosh parshiot elu al seder zeh hi hanikreit kriyat shema. The Rambam says the recitation of these three parshiot, that's the mitzvah of kriyat shema. So the Rambam has a mitzvah of Zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim, which has to be done every day. And then the question becomes, what's the difference between Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim and Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim? And just to make the problem worse, the Rambam, we saw this in the Sefer HaMitzvos, quoted Psukim of Zechiras Shabbos and Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim as a proof to what? That there's a mitzvah called Sipur. So what's going on? So just so you don't even have to read it. Number four is the Minchas Chinuch. We should read number four. Number four is the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph. The Rambam says, Mitzvat Asei Shel Torah, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, L'saper B'nisim V'niflaot She'na'asu La'avoteinu B'mitzrayim B'leil Chamisha Asar B'nisan, to tell over the miracles that God did to us on the 15th of Nisan. By the way, I don't think that means there's a mitzvah to tell over today the miracles that God did for us on the 15th of Nisan. It means to tell over on the 15th of Nisan the miracles that God did. Shenemar, and again, he has the pasuk, Zachor et hayom hazeh asher yitzatem mimitzrayim, kimo shenemar zachor et yom hashabbat. The Rambam can't leave the zechiros alone, which is a problem for us because we need Sipur. Uminayin shebelel chamisha asar, and how do you know that night? Tamud lomar v'yigadot ha'levincha bayom ha'hu lemor ba'avur zeh. What's zeh? B'sha'a sheyesh, as we say in the Haggadah, matzah u'morar munachim lefanecha. The zeh means, ba'avur zeh means, you're pointing to the objects. Why is it important to point to the objects? Because that's what we say. The mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim only applies b'sha'a sheyesh matzah u'morar munachim lefanecha. And we say that in the Haggadah, right? The Haggadah says, yachol mei rosh chodesh, maybe you could do the mitzvah from rosh chodesh, tamulon bayom ahu. Right? So you see that there is an intrinsic relationship between matzah and maror and sipur yitziat mitzrayim. Okay. Va'afal pisha ein lo ben. Now this we've already seen elsewhere in the Rambam. Even though you have no child, afilu chacham gidolim chayavim l'saper b'yitziat mitzrayim. And if the more you expand on that which was, harezim mishubach, you are praiseworthy. Okay, and then just quickly, look at number five, the Minchas Chinuch on behalf of everybody says, Imkein, my nitzvah seif b'leil tesvav. So if I have a mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, what's so special about Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? Why is it a separate mitzvah? And why is it apply on the 15th at night? Okay, so let's start with one of the most famous Reb Chaims. Everybody quotes it, but the greatness of Briskers and the Brisker methodology is that they're able to conceptualize and put things into categories and take vague ideas. I find for myself, take vague ideas and be able to say, no, this is definition. Reb Chaim was famous for saying that there are three, maybe the fourth one is the Rav, it's not clear. There are three differences, and they're not technical either, three differences between the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, which we do every day, and the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. The first is, he says, and you see it from the Pasuk, is that the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim is supposed to be done derech she'ela u'tshuva, questions and answers. Now, we, have a Haggadah that has questions in Manishtana, and that's how it's developed, so that, there's always going to be questions. But he thought that the way it's supposed to unfold is via questions and answers. I can tell you this, in Israel it's a little different. In America, in Israel, like, the big holiday is Purim. But, your kids get off, let's say, from the beginning of Nisan, because it's very important to have your 8-year-old at home to help with the cleaning. So they don't learn that much about Pesach. In America, the whole year is geared towards your kid coming home with like a 486-page Haggadah, laminated and whatever, hardcover, like beautiful, right? There's nothing that they don't know about Haggadah. They've been learning it, since Hanukkah, okay? So it's hard to actually get spontaneous questions because the first year we made a Seder at home, all the years we went to my in-laws in Montreal, to my parents, and one year, I don't know why, we just said no, we're married 18 years, we want to make our own Seder. And then we took on this Rabbi Yoel Ben Nun idea because it seemed really fun of doing Magid in the living room where Hesebo really works because you're on couches, okay, whatever it is. And so not only that, so I was in a big chair, and in front of me I had this table, and just like the Gemara says, you don't cover up the matzahs, you move the table. So my sons moved the table, and my daughter, who was in first grade, said, "Hey, why are you moving the table? We haven't eaten yet." I'm like, "Yeah." You know, like, you know, finally, an authentic question, you know, generated. But that's number one, okay? Derech Sheila, you're supposed to generate, and the, you know, things, you're supposed to do bizarre things, all to generate questions.
That's the origin of carpus, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably. There's a lot of things at the Seder that are to generate questions. Okay, the second, and we'll expand on this in the middle, in a minute, is the idea of matchil bignut umisayim b'shevach, or b'shvach. You have to start with the bad part and end with the good part. Meaning, there needs to be real storytelling. There needs to be real storytelling. It can't just be different pieces, you know, that at the end of the night all come together to yield one. No, it has to be like a narrative that follows a timeline that, again, like any good story, that has a tension to it and has a sadness to it and has a fear factor, and lands up, you know, with a happy ending. And that's number two. So one is Derech Sheila U'Tshuva. The second is Matchil Bignut U'Misayim B'Shvach. The third is what we would call show and tell. The storytelling has to be done together with props, like any good story. So it sounds insulting to call matzah a prop, and maror a prop, and karpas and pillows, and, but it's really true. And you see in the you see here, it's really, it's so true that v'igadta levincha b'yomahu lemor ba'avur zeh, right? He says that that's not just the way to identify the calendar date. Without zeh, you don't have sipu yitzias mitzrayim. Maybe you have zechiras yitzias mitzrayim, but without the matzah and the wine and the maror and karban pesach, you know, you just don't have it. And everybody knows that the best storytellers do it with props and do it in a way that that helps you to identify with the story, and so you need that as well. Now, the last thing, which either is Reb Chaim or the Rav, it doesn't much matter, is that it has to be clear in the storytelling that it happened on this day, by Yom Hahu, that this is the anniversary. It's not that God did it, you know, I didn't look it up, but it's a useful thing to be able to say, it's, I think it's 3,336, give or take. You can look it up. But at a Seder, it's much more meaningful to say, on this day, you know, not 3,500 years ago, but 3,300, yeah, I'm sorry that I didn't look it up. It's really, you know, to say it that way, I think makes it much more immediate.
It was Shabbat.
Huh?
It was Shabbat.
Right, but that's less, oh, you're saying this year it's exciting because it's, no, it was Thursday. If the 10th
was on a Shabbos.
The 10th was on a Shabbos. So the 15th couldn't have been on a Shabbos. Okay, I think it was, I think we think it was Thursday, the first, the actual Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the 15th is the 15th. That, of course, helps explain the Rambam's borderline obsession with Zechira. Right? What does he say? K'mo shenemar zachos yom ha-shabbos l'kadosho. When do we do the mitzvah of Zechira Shabbos? So the Rambam thinks every day. But Zechira Shabbos is really Kiddush. Right? You can't make Kiddush on Wednesday.
Yes, that's right.
No, but you can't make Kiddush on Wednesday. You have to make Kiddush on Shabbos. So the Rambam says you have to do, you know, Sibri Tzias Mitzrayim is meaningless, right? You could fake it, you know, you could celebrate because it's not convenient. So you can celebrate your anniversary on a day that's not your anniversary, and you can celebrate a birthday on a day that's not a birthday. But the Rambam says you can't fake, you know, Hayom Hazeh. You can't do Shabbos on Thursday because Shabbos is inconvenient. And therefore, it has to be the case that the Rambam's references to Zechira means you have to mention that it is this day on which God did the miracle. And we think there's something to it. You know, I don't know how many people here don't lock their front doors or don't say Shema because it's considered Leil Shimurim. But the answer is it's because it's this day. Okay, now, let's talk about how the story is supposed to unfold at our Seder. The way we said it so far is the Rambam says it's a big mitzvah of Sipri Tzias Mitzrayim, but he didn't give us any help with respect to the parameters of that mitzvah. So here, it pays to talk for a minute or two about storytelling generally. Because my wife writes books, and I, you know, when you think about it, it's so simple, just tell the story. But part of the art of storytelling and the art of like a really good book is obviously building tension, right, to a resolution, but knowing where to start and where to end. Meaning, you want people to care about the characters, right? So you have to give a backstory, right? And the best writers know how to work that in, not in a boring way, like, okay, here's the stuff you need so you'll appreciate the story. The best writers know how to weave it into a story. But if you go back too far and you give too much background information, you lose the readers, right? Just the same, the story has to end at the right point. Meaning it has to give the reader enough to make you feel like, okay, I've invested in the story and I've gotten an end. But it also has to, you know, give them enough to imagine the day after without going there. Like, sometimes when you see a movie or you read a book and you know that there's another, you know, it's the first part of. So the best ones of those books make you feel like you read a full book, I feel satisfied, and I'd like to get more. The worst ones are, I feel like there was no payoff. There was no payoff. I always thought, like, you know, The Lord of the Rings, books I loved as a kid, they had so many endings, he just couldn't stop the book. Right? The movie also, so many endings. So knowing where to start and where to end, and where to build attention from, is critical to telling a story. So now let's ask. We don't know anything. Okay? Let's say we don't have a Haggadah. We'll have to sit down and write our own Haggadahs for people who are coming to our Seder so we can discuss. And it's the same point will be true, you know, for 8-year-olds and for 30-year-olds. Where does the story, if we were sitting down and telling the story, where does the story of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim start if you were writing your own Haggadah?
When Yaakov went into Egypt.
Okay, so you're saying a good place to start, if you just pick up that one day the Jews were slaves in Egypt. One second, somebody will say, well, how'd they get there? Right? I want to understand, it doesn't make sense. Were they in Egypt for 10,000 years? Were they Egyptians? What made them Jew? What made them separate? Okay, so you're saying you have to start with Yaakov Avinu coming down to Egypt.
Avram.
Okay, you're saying we have to go back even more. Why?
Because of the episode between Hashem and Avram.
The Brisbane Absar. Because you're saying it's very, very important for people to know that Avram Avinu was told by God, Yado Ateida ki ger yezarcha be'eretz lo lohem va'avadum v'inu otam arba meot shana. Other suggestions? Mr. Weiss? Okay, Avadam Ayinu, you're saying, but that picks up right in Egypt. You're saying, fine, we don't have enough time for all this other stuff, let's start in Egypt. Arami Ovidavi, you're saying Lavan, right? Why? Because Lavan switched the wives. And that made Yosef, right? Yosef has to be in here somewhere, or maybe not. Right? You know, what I'm pointing out is there are so many, it's not such a simple thing. Right? We're all intelligent, we all know the story, but you don't know, right? One of the things is, okay, you know, we could do Mr. Weiser, Avadim Mayinu. If I was the reader, I'd go, I want to know where they got down there. Okay? How they, what they were doing there. So then we go to Mr. Levy, then you go to Mr. Levy, who says, well, say that Yaakov went down. Okay, but why did Yaakov go down? So then I go, well, because the brothers hated Yosef and they sold Yosef. Well, why did the brothers hate Yosef? Well, maybe because, and now had it, you know, maybe it was because of love on switched the wives, otherwise Yosef would have been the oldest. Maybe it goes back to Avraham Avinu. Maybe it goes to Adam Arishon. Maybe it goes to Terach. Right? What was so great? You have to make a decision. Right? It's not so simple. All I'm saying is it's not so simple. Now, do the other side, where I think it's even more complicated. Where does the story end? If you were writing the story of the Haggadah, you were writing the story, where does it end? Excellent. Proves my point. Let's do the possibilities. One is, it ends the day after. Okay? We're leaving Egypt triumphantly. You know, the trumpets are blowing. It's great. They're dead. We're leaving. Okay, but we're just in the desert. Okay? So you could then do Kriyas Yamsuf. because we know that they chased us, you know, right? And actually, it's true, because if you watch the movie, you watch the movie, so, you know, they also struggled with this, because they leave, and it's fantastic.
No, not only that, but they go back to Mitzrayim. So
okay, but they kind of do, but I'm saying, you know, so fine, so then Kriyas Yamsuf could have been the end of the story. But then Maimad Har Sinai could have been the end of the story. That's also in the, you know, each time the movie seemed to end, then there was another one. Then there's going into the land of Israel. That, okay, all I'm saying is these are critical questions that had to be dealt with and that are the subject not just of our discussion, but machlokis tanaim and machlokis amoraim. Let's go. Look at number six. Look at number six.
And only when the story ends. All the convenient forgetting as they go along, as you go from phase to phase. Like only 20% of the Jews make it out of Mitzrayim to begin with.
I never liked that.
People dying
with
armies.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. You want to mix in bad things? You can. Don't ruin it. Now, says the Mishnah, okay? The Mishnah, the 10th parak of Psachim, source number 6, Matchil bignut u'misayim bishvach. The storytelling has to start with the bad stuff, and it has to end with the good stuff. V'doresh me'arami oved avi, and you have to darshan the psukim of arami oved avi, we'll come back to that, ad sheyigmar kol ha'parsha kula. Arami Ovid Avi, as we all know, was said by Jews when they brought Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that's the Parsha, and it contains within it kind of a concise story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. In fact, why don't we just skip to the last source, and we'll read it together. Okay, this is we're in source number 9. This is what a Jew would used to say when he came to the Beis HaMikdash. Va'anita va'amarta. You'll answer and say, "Lifnei Hashem Elokecha." Yes. Arami oved avi. Now, in our Haggadah, what does that mean? Who's that reference to?
Lavan.
But probably in the Psukim, that's probably cheating, because Arami oved avi va'yered Mitzrayma. Lavan never went down to Mitzrayim. So probably, if you look in the Rashbam and in other Mefarshim, Arami Oved Avi, my grandfather, my great-great-great-great-grandfather was a wandering Aramean, Vayered Mitzrayim. That could either be, there's two possibilities. Who is that? It's either Avraham or Yaakov. Okay, each of whom went down to Mitzrayim. But I'm happy for it to be Lavan. I'm just saying, we dash in these psukim, right? We say, Arami Oved Avi Vayered Mitzrayim, Vayarga sham bimisei ma'at, and he lived there in a small number. Vahi sham ligoy gadol atzum varav, and there he became a goy gadol atzum varav, a great nation. So again, what we do in the Haggadah, and we do it too quickly, but what we do is we read each pasuk, and then we have drashas on each pasuk, right? You know, Arami oved avi, who's that? Lavan vayei mitzrayim anus al piyadi, right? Each one has a drasha. Next, Vayareo Tono Hamitzrim Vayanunu. The Egyptians were terrible to us. Vayitnu Alinu Avodah Kasha, and they gave us hard work. Vanitzak El Hashem Elokei Avotenu, and God, we cried out to God, our God. Vayishma Hashem Et Kolenu Vayaret Anenu Vet Amalenu Vet Lachatzenu, and God heard us and saw our affliction. Vayotzienu Hashem Mitzrayim Biyad Chazakov Zeran Tu Yavu Mar Gadol Motov Uv Motim, and God took us out of Mitzrayim with great miracles. Va'yivienu al ha'makom hazeh, and he brought us to this place. Va'yitein lanu et ha'aretz hazot eretz zavat chalav u'dvash. So, if I asked you to go back to our exercise that we were doing to write a Haggadah, where would we start taking psukim from? So it's true, you could take some psukim, you know, from Lavan and from the Yosef story, from the Bris Bein Absarim, and, you know, but it would be hard to put it all together. It would just be too long. It would be unwieldy, right? You would just be sitting there reading psukim forever. So on some simple level, the Torah says, right, V'doresh me'arami oved avi, you know what? There's four or five psukim. Maybe they're not the best psukim. Most of us would say they're not. that kind of summarize the Yetzias Mitzrayim story, use those at your Seder. Okay? It's not that satisfying, because Arami Ovidov, we don't even know what it means, doesn't give you the whole backstory, but it does have Vayotzi, Hashem Mitzrayim Biot Chazaka, Vayivienu Alamakom Azeh, and he brought us to this place. So on some level, the answer to our question is, yeah, the story goes until we reach the land of Israel. The problem is, we don't say the last pasuk. It's not in our Haggadahs. It's part of the Parsha, but the last pasuk we say is pasuk Ches. Vayotzienu Hashem mimitzrayim biyad chazaka v'zeran tuyah u'mara gadol u'votot u'vmotim. We arbitrarily end the story at Yitzias Mitzrayim. Not only that, we don't even do Kriyas Yamsuf, and we don't even do Maimon Har Sinai. Now you'll say, we do Dayenu. Dayenu doesn't count. Dayenu was a later addition to the Haggadah. I hate to break the news to you, but if you have to skip one thing in the Haggadah, skip Dayenu. I know it's the high point of the Seder.
That's what the kids love.
So but I understand.
So you'd have to start the story at the burning bush, because if you want to...
Maybe. Okay, I'm not, the burning bush is after we were slaves. It's true. So what we have is as follows. We have a Mishnah, we're back in number 6. We have a Mishnah that says, Maschil begils usayim bishvach, you have to start with the bad stuff and end with the good stuff, and you have to darshan arami ovedavi. That's the halacha. So if I ask you, what's the Haggadah supposed to look like? Maschil begils usayim bishvach, darshan arami ovedavi. Now there's the next Mishnah, still in 6, says Rav Gamliel Hayomer, Kol Shelo Amar Shelo Shodvim Elu BePesach Lo Yotzei Dei Chovato. Didn't say these three things. You are in Yotzei VeElu Ain Pesach Matzah Umaror. So just interestingly, most people understand that to mean that if I didn't eat Pesach Matzah Umaror, I'm not Yotzei. But the other pshat is no. If you didn't say it as part of the story, as we've seen, you didn't explain why we eat Korban Pesach. You didn't explain why we eat matzah. You didn't explain why we eat maror. Okay, great. Now, what is Maschil Bignosum Sayim Bishvach? So the machlokis that we had is kind of a machlokis amoran. Look at number 7. Maschil Bignosum Sayim Bishvach. My Bignos asks the Gemara, what is the bad stuff? Rav Amar, Mitchila Ovde Avodas Gilulim, or what we say, Mitchila Ovde Avodazara Hayu Avotenu. Ushmuel Amar, Avadim Hayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim. In a certain way, clear who said what. One shita is the focus is on Avadim Hayim Lefar B'Mitzrayim. I understand that there's a backstory, but you can get caught up in all kinds of stuff going back and back and back and back. And well, we want to keep the focus on Avadim Hayim Lefar B'Mitzrayim Vayotzieinu Hashem Elokeinu Misham B'Yadcha. Right, that has to be the focus. And the other shita is no, that's just a result. That's not, the real story is, the real gnus is, mitchila ovde avodazara hayu avoseinu. We were godless. We were like every single other person in the world. Va'achshav kervanu hamakom la'avodato. And now we are God's people. It's, to oversimplify, but usefully, one says the focus is on physical slavery, and the other says the focus is on the spiritual. Our relationship with God. What's the point of having left Egypt if it wasn't for Maimon Har Sinai? It wasn't about slavery and freedom. It was about our relationship with God.
We have this tension in every yontif, every holiday, tension between the.
Okay, the could be, but here you have. But this is the only holiday that has a mitzvah of sipur, of explaining. For better or for worse, we don't have a machlokes about how to tell the story over for Purim, because it's called Megillat Esther, and you just read it. But here, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Okay, now, when you see machlokesim like this in the Gemara, one thing is to say, okay, it's a real machlokes. Many Rishonim do the Avudraham, is the lead, says, no, this is a real machlokes. He says, you're wrong, and he says, you're wrong, like real machlokesim are. But the Ritva and other Rishonim say, no, it's just a machlokes on the focus. Neither disagrees with the other. Right? Rav says, The focus is on Avadim Hayinu. I'm not against mentioning that Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoteinu. I'm not against mentioning the fact that our relationship with God is central to the story. But the focus should be on the physical slavery. Okay, and Shmuel says, no. The focus is on our relationship with God, on the spiritual, that we used to be of the Avodah Zarah, and now we've been... That's the focus.
You switched them out.
Right. Now, how do we paskin?
We do both.
The answer is we do both. We have Avadim Hayinu in our Haggadahs, and we have Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoteinu. The problem is, what do we have first in our Haggadah? If you think of it, we should have brought Haggadahs. You have Manishtana, then you have Avadim Hayinu. Then 20 minutes later, you get to Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah. But who were the Ovdei Avodah Zarah? Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoteinu. Who are they? We say in the Haggadah, Terach Avi Avraham V'Avi Nachar. So we do it out of chronologically. Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoteinu should have come first in our Haggadahs. Only hundreds of years later came Avadim Hayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim. Because Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah refers to Avraham's father. And Avadim Hayinu is, 400 years later, Yaakov's sons. Well, actually, not even Yaakov's sons. The descendants of the Shvatim.
Unless you're referring to Bnei Israel in Mitzrayim that had not yet that they.
Right. So that would be fancy, and that's helpful. But almost certainly, it's not true in the Haggadah, because the proof text is it says, how do you know? It says Terach Avi Avram Avi Nachar. Okay. So look at Rambam, source number 8. Says the Rambam, V'tzarich la'atchil b'gnut l'sein b'shvach. Ketzad matchilu misaper shebitchila hayu avoteinu b'mei terach u'milifonav kofrim. Okay, terach, that's before Avraham. V'toin achar ha'hevel v'rodfin achar avodazara. That's where you start. That they were all of the avodazara u'misayim b'dat ha'emet with the true religion. Shekervanu ha'makom lo lahavdila min ha'toim. That God made us His chosen people, and we took on the uniqueness of God. And also, don't forget to talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the freedom that we got. And you have to dash an Arami Ovid Ovi till you finish the whole Pasha, v'chol ha-mosif u'marach midrash Pasha zo ha-reizu m'shubach. Okay, simple question. The Rambam says, first you say, the Rambam says the main thing, or he said, the first thing he quotes is, mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoteinu, and then also you have to say, avadim hayu lefaro b'mitzrayim. The problem is, we have the Rambam's Haggadah, the Rambam published it, and he has what we have. First, avadim hayinu, which is out of order and seems like it's not the critical element, and then mitchila of the Avodah Zarah Yavuteinu. The accepted answer in the Rambam is that we misunderstood. We don't have time for all the details, but the Rambam thinks that mitchila of the Avodah Zarah is the main part of the Haggadah in terms of the maschil b'gnusim sayim b'shvach. But we have Avadim Hayinu not as Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, but as what? As the answer to the Manishtana. Because most people understand Manishtana is really one question. It's how could it be that on the one hand we eat matzah, which is poor people's bread, and we eat marah, which is remembrance of slavery, and we lean, and we have 4 cups of wine. No, that's not the fourth question. We lean and we dip twice, right? They're inconsistent. So the answer is Avadim Ayin Lefar Mitzrayim VaYotzi Hashem Lakin Misham. Because we're commemorating the bad part, we're doing Gnus, and then we're doing Shvach. Okay? That's all by way of introduction. Then the main part of the Haggadah is Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoteinu. Okay? That's the simple thing. But the point I really want to make, and we're going to run out of time, is the Mishnah is clear. If you go back to 6, the first part, Matchil b'Gnus Sayim b'Shvach, V'doresh me'arami oved avi. The Mishnah tells you, how do you Matchil b'Gnus Sayim b'Shvach? The answer is, look number 9. Read the Parsha of Arami Oved Avi. That starts with Vayered Mitzrayim, and that finishes with Vayotzi Hashem Elokeinu Misham Miyad Chazakav Zvura Tuya. Isn't that the main thing? And the answer is yes, but, and this is an amazing thing, but it speaks to me so much, speaks to me now because we live in Israel. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in the Melamed Lahoel suggests the following. He says, and he was a religious guy, believe me, he says as follows. Originally, the centerpiece of the Seder really was, like the Mishnah says, you know, the drasha of Arami Oved Avi, those psukim. But originally, he says, those psukim ended with the last pasuk, Avayivien Olam HaKom Hazeh Vayiten Lanot, right? That's what it was. But what happened? We went into Golos. In the first year in Bavel, it was really hard to generate joy and say Vayivien Olam HaKom Hazeh. So we dropped that line. We stopped saying it. And this lost its place as the centerpiece of the Seder. Because it's really not, you know, it's not as exciting, doesn't end with what it should have ended with. Now, that might be the pshat, or really might be a din in storytelling, which is what I believe, one way or the other, and I'll explain. It's true. We all know that ultimately the story ends in Israel, or maybe not even in Israel, maybe only when the Beis HaMikdash is built. But you can't tell a story that way, and holidays have to be focused on what they're focused on. And Shvi Shel Pesach is reserved for Kriyas Yamsuf, and Shavuos is reserved for Maimad Har Sinai. And Sukkos really is Bikur, you know, it has to play. You can't do everything on Leil HaSeder. So I think what happened was as follows. You have to understand this. What was Bikurim? In an agricultural society, Bikurim were like, you know, bonus day on Wall Street. When I used to live in that world, you know, it was like you got, you know, a quarter of your salary was what they paid you, and then there was, you know, the bonus. And that generated all this, you know. When you brought your Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, that was, you know, that was bonus day. That was when your year's work had ended. And you come there, and everybody came there, and they said the psukim of Arami Oved Avi. I think everybody knew it by heart. And so Chazal chose psukim Vanisava Amartal Lifnei Hashem Elokecha Lemor as the centerpiece of the Haggadah, even without the last pasuk of Avieinu Olam HaKom Hazeh. Because if I said to you, you know what, just say Aleinu till, you know, Vanachdu Kom Shachim Modin, and stop there. But everybody knows what comes next. Lifnei Melach Machayim Lachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Because we all know it by heart. I think Chazal took psukim that everybody knew by heart and said, only say the first four of the psukim. Because we want to keep the focus at the Seder on Yetzias Mitzrayim. But we all knew what the last pasuk was. Everybody knew, everybody said it all the time. Everybody knew that's really the end of the story. It's the end of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's the end of the story of Sukkot. It's the end of the story of Shavuos. It's the end of every story. But storytelling demands, you know that when the movie ends, when the book ends, there's the next day. Right? But you could play that through in your own mind. So I think Chazal, when we ask ourselves why Chazal picked these psukim and said the centerpiece of the Seder should be Arami Oved Avi, I think the answer is simple. Because it's a pretty short telling of the story, but they could stop it before the story went on too long. Meaning the last part of Vayivin Olam HaKom Hazeh, this is the biggest talk of Machlokes, whether they ever said it or not. Okay? But the point is, you don't have to say it to know that it's out there. Right? When we tell the story at the Seder, so you're not going to mention to your kids if they ask, well, what happened the day after? Everybody knows that there's going to be a Kriyas Yamsuf. Everybody knows there's going to be a Maimad Har Sinai. Everybody knows one day Moshe's going to die and Yoshua's going to take over. I'm going to go in. There's going to be Yericho. And there's going to be more wars. And 400 years, only 400 years after that, will Shlomo HaMelech build the Beis HaMikdash and But you gotta limit the story somehow. So they picked psukim that told the core of the story, that was Maschil Bignosum Sain B'Shvach, but left out the end because everybody knew it was coming. Now that expanded later on into Avadim Hayinu Lefar B'Mitzrayim and Mitchila Ov De'Avodah Zarah Yo'avoseinu, all of which are appropriate at the Seder, as maybe Arami Oved Avi lost some of its, you know, some of its center, some of its importance in the Seder. But one more thing, there's also something fascinating about this. How did the Jews say Arami Oved Avi? They said it with great joy. I mean, it was an incredibly happy time. These are, you know, if we quoted Psukim from Bereishis and Shmos, we would be telling the story as it unfolded. Here, we're retelling the story as our forefathers retold the story. With great, it's not just that this is a concise history of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's the concise history of Yetzias Mitzrayim that our forefathers said at the Beis Hamikdash when they brought Bikurim with great joy. Now, why does that matter so much? Because in a certain telling, the end of the story really is Bikurim. Right? It's not just that we got out of Mitzrayim, and that we crossed the Yam Suf, and that we got the Torah, and that we went to Israel. Now eventually we built the Beis Hamikdash. But after all that, we set up a functioning society that has commerce that yields crops, not miraculously, not man, that we now have a land of Israel where people come to the Beis HaMikdash, you know, to pay taxes in the most joyous tax-paying ceremony ever. And really, that's the end of the story. So Chazal took those psukim that were used for a different purpose and said, you know what? Pretend like that's happening to you. But only pretend. Because you can't really talk about the Beis HaMikdash at the Seder, because that's expanding it too far. But you know what? Everybody knows where these psukim come from. Everybody knows the feeling they're supposed to generate. And, you know, I like to do at my Seder, during the meal, when it's all over, say the pasuk of Avieinu L'Makom Hazeh. You know, some people have a minhag to drink during the meal, some fifth coast, you know. Okay, Jonathan Pollard, he's out, so you don't have to drink for him anymore. Although he's not really out, you drink half grape juice maybe for him, because he's in New York, it's not that bad, but could be better. You could drink for Vayivinu L'Makom Hazeh. A lot to think about, we could have used some more time anyway. Chag Kasher V'Sameach to everybody.
I just wonder how much, you know, we have a sitter because people, the rabbis, I guess, felt we may not know really what to say.
Right.
Here, to tell the story, you'd think the Jews would know what to say, but post-Horban, maybe the Seder was so different before the Horban and after that the rabbis felt they had to record something that maybe people wouldn't know how to go on. Because you think people so close to the events could certainly tell the story. Just read the Torah.
Yeah, look, the tension between... Thank you. The tension between, you know, davening in your own words and davening from a sitter was no different than the tension here.
Yeah,
you're right. Over time, it became too hard to...
Because all these midrashic additions... I know you're running. And you're going to have to pass it, right? Very good. Thank you, Rabbi.